break from preaching was its own relief. Another thing that had been, to some degree, in effect was negotiating a pandemic together. And I'm going to come back to pandemic, but let me just quickly add on. And negotiating the difficult political scene that our country and our congregation in certain ways have gone through in recent months, in the last year or so. I do think Christ Community did a rather good job of getting through the pandemic and also through the political thing. But the truth is there were and are pressures here and there and under and so forth. And those are not easy issues to know exactly how to address. For example, I don't want Christ Community or my pulpit to become a place where you need to vote for so-and-so, or you need to believe this about a particular issue. However, I do believe that our faith has political implications. John the Baptist lost his head because of what he said to a king. Jesus was killed because of politics. He was turned over to the politicians who had their own political things to do. So I think it matters a lot that we're careful. Prayerful is a better word. When we go through things like the pandemic and how that can become political, and then the whole political thing that happened in our country. And nobody should assume that you know how I voted, although I might say I did a write-in candidate when I did. But I do think people can, with good conscience, vote for different people. But it does need to be a good conscience thing, a thorough, prayerful, so forth. And if you ever want to talk more about it personally, I'm happy to do that. But I never want to turn it into a political action committee, if you know what I mean. Okay? I'll say one more thing about it. We can't let our religion get hijacked by our politics. The kingdom of God, there's no comparison. No Republican kingdom, no Democrat kingdom, no independent kingdom, no libertarian kingdom. Nothing compares to the kingdom of God. And the day will come when every knee will bow. Now, just for the fun of it, just for the pleasure of it, I think I've done this before, but let me do it again. I want to tell you what I think that every knee shall bow is going to look like. Most of my life I've thought, I've got this other mic. Most of my life I've thought that every knee shall bow was going to be, you're going to be facing an intimidating God. And you might be standing there and you're going to quake and fall to your knees. Here's what I think now. I think we're going to see such beauty in this God. Such glory in the way he loves and forgives and is just as generous as can be. We're just going to, So for all the noise that's on TV and radio and all the noise that's in even conversations sometimes, when the day comes, when every knee's going to bow, I think it's going to be a melting. So anyway, those are some of the reasons that there have been some pressures for a while. And the truth is, across America, there's a mass resignation of pastors. I don't know if you knew that. In part because of the season of pandemic and politics. So even in Ottawa, there's a lot of new pastors. All of the Methodists are new pastors. Lutheran, new pastor. Crossbridge, new pastor. Others are new pastors. And I did a sabbatical. Something happened to me on my first day of sabbatical. Leading up to those days, ever so often I would tell somebody about a book, The Safest Place on Earth. And I would talk to them about the upper room that is talked about in that book and the lower room and the four motivations of the upper room, which are passion to worship, passion to trust, passion to grow, passion to obey. And I was happy to explain those to anyone who asked. But then I would also mention the lower room, which would be the fleshly desires of the heart, the passion for self, the passion to control, the passion to define, I want to put it all in a box and know what it is, if I'm going to feel safe. And then I would always forget the fourth one. And so finally, my first day of sabbatical came, and I said, I'm going to take the time on my sabbatical to get what that fourth one is and get it memorized. And so I went to the internet and found what those four furnishings of the lower room are. And sure enough, passion for self, passion for control, passion to define, and passion to perform. There was my pressure. That one that I couldn't remember all those times I would tell people was the one I needed to remember. And I thank God for that insight on day one of my sabbatical. And it's had ripple effects in me since, and I pray that it will continue to do that. But because of your generosity, I've been able to let go of some of those pressures. I've been able to rest. I've enjoyed my grandchildren. I've picked them up from school. What a delight that is. Able to work on my, I don't know if you've seen the boat down by the river, Gentry's boat, that got floating this week. And just beautiful, precious, wonderful things like that. And for all of that, I thank you. As I mentioned already, little did we know what Glenda's health thing was going to be about. She's in chemotherapy now. She's got only one more to do in about 2.5 weeks. Thank you for meals. Thank you for cards. Thank you for phone calls which said, can we bring you groceries? Can we do this for you? Can we run errands and all that other good stuff? I do have to admit, with all those medical appointments and sometimes the surprises there, and there was a point when my life started to feel like a country western song, especially when I, go ahead and move to the next, lost my dog. I got a picture of Izzy for you. Come on, I want to see Izzy. There she is. We've had her for 16 years, and she was just such a blessing. She threw a party every time I walked in the door, and we had to let her go this year. However, there were some wonderful, huge, bright spots between after surgery and the beginning of recovery and so forth. Glenn and I snuck off to Germany to meet this next picture. Look at that girl, would you? Your generosity allowed this. That's Kristen. That's Johanna. What's her middle name? Johanna Joy, yeah. I just think about the first part because that's most like John, you know, Johanna. But now we're in the chemotherapy phase, so the pace is a little more regular. I've been able to do a few at-home projects. Recently, I had my own health venture. Did you guys know I had a health situation for a little bit? Show them the next picture. See that? I don't know if you noticed, when I was here about a month or so ago, I had a little bandage under my eyeglasses. Well, that's what it looked like the day after. That's six stitches in the middle of the nose. Next picture. That's where the blood is pooling even more the next day. And now I want to explain how that happened. Next picture. I was helping my son at the boat. And that gangway had some planks on it, 2x12s, loose 2x12s. I stepped on one end of one of those planks, flipping up the other end, it smacked me right in the nose. This is the day after, by the way, not the day of. I wasn't going to step on that thing again without that helmet. But the truth is, I drove myself to the hospital, and by the time I got back from the hospital, they already had it bolted down. That wasn't going to happen to anybody else. Those who were there, I'm sure, traumatized by what they saw. Next picture. I was able to do this. My son-in-law and Marin catching catfish off the dock in the backyard. And one more, the next one. Gordy got to do the same thing on a different day. His only question to me about his fish was it about exactly the same size as Marin's? Thank you for the blessing of being able to have those kinds of experiences. And then Glenda had one more big idea for our sabbatical that she wanted to do, and we did it. Next. And we went on a cruise about 2 weeks ago. Glenda had always wanted to do the eastern seaboard of the U.S. and of Canada, And so we got on in New York and went up into Canada and came back. We would have gone further into Canada, but Hurricane Fiona, was that its name? Not Ian, the one just before that, Fiona, knocked out the last stop and so sent us back to Boston instead. But that's what I've been doing. At the end, especially as Glenda's routine has gotten more regular and steady and predictable, I have become more and more conscious of our mission as Christ Community Church. And because I wasn't here every Sunday, one of the easy places for me to think about that was the one church in the city. How many churches are there in the city? But many congregations, right? I'm especially happy to have the Underwoods with me, speaking of many churches. They pastored for years at Illinois Evangelical Free Church, which many of you might not know is actually an important congregation to our history and destiny, which began even before they began to pastor there. That's where we met Chris Gazulis, the church planter in Mexico. But I've had a great friendship, especially with Tim, but with the Underwoods over the years. How often were we meeting? Every 2 weeks we'd be together with each other and some others, monthly together in the home and having a meal together. And I heard that as soon as I left Christ Community, they decided to go attend. Now, I'm not sure what the connection there is, but whatever the case, they must not have known I was coming back today. It's really good to see you guys. God bless you guys. But since I wasn't attending here, I attended every week somewhere else, and it was my chance to visit some of the other congregations. Went to all of the Methodist churches. At Epworth, I went there the first time, met their new pastor, and the new pastor asked if I'd come back and preach in a couple weeks, so I preached at that church. Preached at Calvary Baptist Church. I won't remember all the places that I've been visiting, but I've made it a point to renew connections and relationships to see where it will go. It's not quite as easy as it used to be. Theologies among congregations have become more diverse and so forth, and sometimes there's a little more skepticism and so forth, but we just want to knock on heaven's door, see what we can do to promote whatever unity we can have. Amen? Because what the scripture says is, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit. And then later it says, until we all come together in the unity of the faith. Crossbridge has even asked me to meet with their staff later this month. So we're going to see about building relationships there early on in the new pastorate that's going on there. And I'm asking the Lord for a season of renewal of unity in the church. Because where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands his blessing. I want to be in the place of his commanded blessing. Amen? And Christ Community has a history of leading in that area in the city, and I want it to continue. My thoughts have also turned to the role of mission right here in Christ Community. Not just mission outside the body and what I'm calling discipleship. We need to not forget that the last and great commission of the Lord was to make disciples. And that assumes, it implies, that we ourselves are the disciples. From the very beginning of creation, you can't make something that you're not. Kind after its kind. Corn begets corn. Apples beget apples. Disciples beget disciples. And we have our own process to be moving through. The real hard question is, what does discipleship look like? Let me tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like having the right answers for the multiple choice quiz or the true false quiz. You can have all the right answers and your heart be a million miles. Discipleship is that process of nurturing, of training our motivations, our attitudes, our responses to be more and more like the emotions, attitudes, and responses of Jesus. There's kind of a thing that puts it pretty clear for me. It's not original with me. Dallas Willard said, "Do you know why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" You know why Jesus said that? Because that was the easiest thing for him to say. And let that sink in a moment. Can you imagine Jesus saying, I hate you guys, you can go to you know where? That wasn't in him. The most appropriate, the most easy, the most true thing that the heart of Jesus could say in that moment was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, imagine myself or yourself hanging on a cross, having been betrayed to get there and abandoned, hanging there. What are the words coming out of your mouth? Discipleship is whatever that process is that nurtures the motivations, the responses of Jesus. I don't expect perfection. But I do know that being with the Lord and certain other things that we'll be teaching about and talking about do nurture those motivations and responses in us. The other thing that became clear to me as I was thinking about my role in Christ community is I would not want to leave pastoring someday without having addressed some of the hard things that are in our society and culture right now. I don't want to just leave it for the next person. You and I have a lot of relationship collateral. We've been doing this walk together for a lot of years. I'd rather have you hear some things from me. You following me? And we'll go some of those places together. Because the world needs us right now more than ever. And the thing that it needs the most from us is that we be the church. We got to know what that means. We got to know what participation in that means. We've got to be that. Otherwise, the world is impoverished. Otherwise, the agenda of Jesus is diminished if we can't be the church. So I expect that we'll be going there along the way. I'm asking that as we do this discipleship thing, which you'll hear more about in coming weeks, that you'll have a stronger and stronger relationship with your Bible. Now, we try to make it easy for you and convenient for you, for example, by having scriptures on the wall. And we want that, especially for visitors. But you know what I wish was true for all the regular saints? I wish that whether electronically or on paper, you were equipped where you could underline or highlight or write a little note in the margin or whatever so that you can become a student of God's word. I think the people clapping the loudest are the ones that have some of the most experience with the word of God. I think they know what I'm talking about when I say that. And I think that's their motivation for wanting to encourage and celebrate that. But what I know is that when Jesus was tempted, his response that got him through it was his knowledge of the word. Will you be tempted? Will I be tempted? I want myself and us to have an adequate, a more than adequate knowledge of the word. So whether paper or electronic in the coming weeks and months, let's know where our Bibles are, blow the dust off of them. Electronically, you can add notes. Otherwise, just bring a paper version of the Bible and write notes, and you can add it electronically later. But we want to become students of the word. All right, next one that says second insight. I'm working on my own discipleship. In fact, I'm in a program over the next 7 months or so, specifically working on my prayer life. But along the way, early in this process of working on my prayer life, I've learned that I carry a fear around. And I didn't recognize this fear with any clarity until recently. And my fear is this. I hate to say what I'm about to say, okay? But I got to say it if I'm going to be honest with you. My fear is our future or my future might not be as great as our past. Is that an obnoxious fear to carry around? But it's a fear that someone like me is pretty vulnerable to because I've been around in this congregation for 50 years. I've got less in front of me than I have behind me in this congregation. You understand what I'm saying? I have struggled with some questions about my effectiveness. I have been affected by changes in the body and changes in relationships. Sometimes they gnaw at me, they eat at me. I wonder what my part in that is, what's my failure in that. I carry that around. Well, so maybe I just need to find the next best young and gun and turn it over. And that's just been hidden there, tucked away. That came to the surface in my new emphasis in my prayer life. And I thank God for that. Which brings me to our text. Liz read for us some scriptures from the book of Haggai in the Old Testament. Pop quiz. I haven't been here for a while, so y'all will be really impressed if you get the answer to this. Two major themes of the Old Testament are what? Begins there. And then maybe I would say three. And if I was going to say three, that'd be there. What are they? I'll give you a hint. Moses. Exodus. And then the other starts with an E. Exile. Those two themes, leaving Egypt, building a kingdom under God's plan and under God's law, sinning and being taken away into captivity and being brought and taken away and brought back, that covers most of the real estate in the Old Testament. Liz was reading for us a passage of scripture which was about a return from exile, a return right to the heart of Israel, right to the city of Jerusalem, and that's what she was reading. And when they had been brought back from exile, it came to their heart, we want to rebuild. Let's start with rebuilding the temple. And they were going to try to restore things back to the way it used to be before they were put in exile. Turn it to the next slide. And when I come back, even though it's not exactly the same, I want to do some things again. I want to renew some things. You're going to hear more about that in the coming weeks. The truth is, I want to go back to the beginning of some things, just like Israel did when they came back to Jerusalem. I think God deposited some things in Christ Community Church years ago that he does not want neglected. In fact, wants nourished and flourished in the coming years. And we're going to pay attention to them. And I talked to Joy a little bit yesterday about creation. And we're going to start with creation when I get there in a couple weeks. But we're going to be pressing into those things. Now, I want to give you a little, before I go back to the scripture, I want to give you a little heads up. My coming back as a pastoring is going to be a little bit easing in because of natural things related to life. Let me explain. Christ Community has a good friend, had a good friend in Steve Obermeyer. Just out of curiosity, he hasn't been here in a long time. Anybody know who Steve Obermeyer is? Some of you do, yep. Steve Obermeyer brought a team over here to help us build this building, to help us remodel this building. Came from the South Bend Church. He brought a lot of skills himself. He brought a lot of team, and he came back multiple times. And he would come back and visit ever so often, especially staying with my parents. And we lost him to cancer a couple of weeks ago. And they've asked me to come be a master of ceremonies at his funeral next Sunday. And because of how the kind of friend he's been to us, I've accepted that invitation. And my good friend Tim Underwood will preach for us again. I've heard great things about him teaching a couple weeks ago. And the other thing coming up in the near future is I need to go to Mexico. That just to visit our church there. That's going to be a few more weeks down the road. But they want us down there for the anniversary. And then there's a thing in the background. Go to the next one, please. Next. This is Steve Obermeyer, if that helps any of you recognize him. Next one. Leave it there for a moment. How many know Deborah Miller? Deborah Miller has been diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer. In fact, she's in hospice right now. And within a few days is when they expect her to no longer be with us. How many years were they with us? Anybody remember? But we marked their lives, and they marked ours. Go to the next slide. Anybody remember that little girl? Sean and Deborah couldn't have children. And they came to us, they came to Christ Community Church because of Jeremiah Joe Coffee Shop. His job brought him to this area. They had to decide, do we want to live in Peru or do we want to live in Ottawa? And they decided Ottawa had the best coffee shop, so they moved to Ottawa. That's a true story. That caused them to learn that there was a congregation up here, and they came and be a part of it. She co-taught with me. a number of things, but they couldn't have children. And that was a matter of prayer for this congregation and them for a long time. And finally, one day, they got news that there was a little girl in Ethiopia that had their last name on her. And we as a congregation gathered on Easter Sunday, gave her a little baby blanket, and sent them to Ethiopia that very day to go pick up that very girl. Next picture. Who's that big now? Or a little bigger now. She's just a beautiful young lady, but she's about to lose her mother. And there's going to be a funeral. I don't know the details in the coming days. All right. Let me go back now to talking about the scripture. I'm almost done. Famous last words, right? The verses around what Liz read says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house, the glory of what you're starting again, even though Solomon's temple might have been bigger, or they killed more animals on that day, or there were other phenomena that they experienced on that day, even though there was all that then, the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant shalom, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, this has a context, not only of coming back from exile, but a context in other scriptures. And I've got to see this bigger. Here we go. You can read the same story in the book of Ezra. Chapter 8. I want to read for you verses 8 through 13. In the second month of the second year, after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, the priests and the Levites, and all who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem, from exile, they began the work. They appointed Levites, 20 years old and older, to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and his brothers Cadmiel and his sons, descendants of Hodaviah and the sons of Henadad and all their sons and brothers, all Levites, joined together in supervising those working on the house of God. Which, by the way, that temple is metaphor for congregation, for church. House of God. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, they took their place to praise the Lord, as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love towards Israel endures forever. Let me just personalize that. His love towards you and me and us endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. It wasn't complete. It wasn't all. Just the foundation was laid. But many of the older priests, those who'd been around a long time, those who remembered the old days, and the Levites and family heads who'd seen the former temple, they wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. For me, for sure, I'm in a new moment in Christ Community Church. There are things in my heart that I want Christ Community to know before my time is done. And I don't have any hint in my heart and mind. I'm not hinting at anything when I say my time is done. Other than that, everybody's time is going to be done someday. But when my time is done, I want a foundation laid. I want certain things renewed. And I want us to know for a fact that what's ahead of us is greater than what's behind us. That's the promise of God ever since He brought His people out of Egypt. What's in front of us is greater than anything we've experienced in what's behind us. Just a couple more verses, then I'll be done. In the second year, King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? What are your expectations? By the way, to put it another way, what we have to be careful about is idolatrous notions of the way church ought to be. What we need is the presence of God, the mercy of God, the power of God, the leading of God, wherever that takes us. Can't have it the way it was when I was a kid. Can't have it the way it was on McKinley Road. Can't have it the way it was in 900 Hit. Wherever God leads us. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, says Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you Christ community. All you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Notice his agreement with the other. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and dry land. I'll shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. We've already read these before, and I'm running out of time, so I'll quit there. But now the title page of my message, the best, our best, is yet to come. And if you'll believe that with me, would you bless the Lord? Thank you. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We're trusting you with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our soul and strength. Bless your name. Father, we commit ourselves to listen after you, to feel after you, to obey you, and to work with your spirit in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen. One of you stand with me, please. This is the first Sunday of the month. The musicians can come. This is the first Sunday of the month, and on the first Sunday of every month,